Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 264. And being as how this episode lands between Christmas and New Year, if you're listening to this in real time, I thought that rather than have a guest, we would do a show based on anxiety dreams and scary awakenings, because strange though it may seem, people often experience anxiety dreams and frightening dreams and bad dreams and uncomfortable dreams in general between Christmas and New Year. You can probably already imagine some of the reasons why. Some of the reasons, amongst very many, include that people have just done big family Christmases, have stuff to process from that. Other people are staring down the barrel of a new year and have all sorts of questions in their mind as to what they want to do, including facing some fears and challenges. And other people are kind of just a little bit up in the air, maybe taking time off work and reconsidering all sorts of aspects of their lives. So although we can have absolutely wonderful and inspirational and uplifting dreams during this period, and other people may not dream at all because they're not getting enough sleep, it's commonly a time of year when people do have quite a few bad dreams. And I thought that to dedicate an episode to this might just give you some insights, some tips and techniques that you might need to deal with those bad dreams and to begin a fresh new year and ready for some much more inspirational and uplifting dreams. So today's show I've called Anxiety Dreams and Scary Awakenings. So why do we have bad dreams and how can we stop them? How many times have you lain awake in the middle of the night, unable or unwilling to go back to sleep because of a bad dream? Perhaps you have regular anxiety-type dream that leaves you on edge, or maybe you occasionally wake up quivering with the certainty that an ice-cold, ethereal presence is standing over you or pinning you to your bed. So in this episode, we look at anxiety dreams, scary awakenings, sleep paralysis, and tips on how to stop bad dreams. We also look at the best way to get back to sleep when you're wide awake or your mind is racing and you'd prefer to get your full dose of healthy sleep and insightful dreams. And as usual, my approach to our what I call our talkie episodes, our non-guest episodes, is to select some blogs that I've written in the past around a theme and read them to you. So the first one is called Anxiety Dreams. And I wrote this one in May 2021 for my Dream Academy blog roll. So before we go there, I should let you know that I have two blog rolls, one going at the Dream Academy and one going at janetheresa.com. So you can access hundreds of blogs and my writings about dreams and dreaming at both those sites. At janetheresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, you can not only read my blogs, of course, but you can listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been. And around 80% of those episodes feature a guest, where we have a guest on the show bringing a dream for us to deeply explore for an hour. So if you haven't experienced that format before, I do suggest you go and listen to some of those. You can also listen to at least the last 10 or 20 episodes of The Dream Show on all the usual podcast platforms, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you prefer to listen to your podcasts. When you go there, simply search for The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson and it will come up quickly. On my janetheresa.com website, you can also find out how to consult me privately, perhaps by Zoom, perhaps by email. You can also find out how to do dream therapy with me. And on my other website, the Dream Academy, where the address is dream-academy-online.com, you can go to the Dream Academy to study four different courses that I do. The very first course is how to interpret your dreams step by step. And you can do that entirely on your own, in your own time, at your own pace, at your own home. So those are the two websites. Let's go back to Anxiety Dreams from May 2021 on the Dream Academy blog roll. How many of your dreams are delightful, inspiring, creative, and uplifting? How many are mundane? How many are terrifying nightmares? And how many are stressful, not exactly in the scary nightmare category, but unsettling, anxiety-ridden dreams? It's estimated that over half our dreams are anxiety dreams, although it's possible that we sleep through many of our more pleasant dreams and tend to remember those that wake us up, the nightmares and stressful dreams. When you feel fear, stress, or anxiety in a dream, the fear and stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, get pumped into your bloodstream. A terrifying nightmare usually pumps so much adrenaline and cortisol into your body that you startle awake, convinced that something scary really did happen, your heart beating madly, and your body primed to run, fight, or freeze. Less scary but stressful dreams drip feed these hormones into your body, maybe waking you, maybe half waking you, maybe causing you to toss and turn, and generally leaving you feeling anxious and stressed in the morning. Not a good way to start your day. So why do we have anxiety dreams? Our dreams process our recent waking life experiences. So if you've had a stressful day, or if you're feeling anxious, consciously or unconsciously, your dreaming mind will work through these feelings, either simply reflecting them or trying to resolve them. Such dreams can alert you to levels of stress and anxiety you may be trying to repress. They can also help you, once you explore them, to understand the deeper basis of your stress or anxiety, giving you powerful personal insight that you can use to manage or diffuse these feelings. And dreams are generally bizarre, surreal, and symbolic, so you might not be able to relate that stressful dream of not being able to find your plane ticket to your waking life, where you have no plane trips planned for a long time. That's when you need to employ your dream interpretation tools or consult a professional dream analyst or dream therapist to discover the waking life connection and the insight this delivers. But some anxiety dreams look more lifelike. Let's take the example of dreaming about an exam the day before you're due to sit it. In 2014, neurologist Isabelle Arnouf surveyed students sitting the Sorbonne University Medical School entrance exam. And places in the medical school are highly competitive, and only 10% of students sitting this exam get accepted. Apparently, stress levels run really high. Arnouf surveyed the students' sleep and dreams the night before the exam, and she found that just over 60% of the 719 students who responded to the survey reported dreams about the exam. And 78% of these dreams featured problems such as being late or forgetting answers. Now, here's the kicker. Students who reported an exam dream on the eve of the exam performed better in the actual exam than those who didn't report an exam dream. It also turned out that the frequency of exam-related dreams over a period of time also predicted success. Those who dreamed of the subject more frequently performed better in the exam. The study concluded that dreams simulating the exam create cognitive change. They prepare the student to perform well. This fits the theory that in processing our recent experiences, as well as our stress and anxiety, dreams provide us with dress rehearsals for life. And yet, while this may sometimes be true, I wonder whether students who were particularly stressed in the exam study were motivated to study and do practice papers in the weeks leading up to the exam, so that they were in fact more prepared through study rather than through their anxiety dreams. Anxiety dreams are very common and usually recurring. Recurring dreams reflect recurring waking life situations. If these dreams were rehearsals training us for success, wouldn't they stop once we had learned the skills? Whether or not anxiety dreams address rehearsals is still hotly debated. In the meantime, how can we handle these anxiety dreams? One of the troubles with anxiety dreams is that they can disrupt our sleep. It can be difficult to get back to sleep when those adrenaline and cortisol hormones are racing around, making you alert and hypervigilant, or are just plain stressed and anxious. And lack of sleep after such a night can lead to a more challenging day, triggering more stress and anxiety to be processed in the following night's sleep. One quick tip, if you are awoken by an anxiety dream, is to engage physiological calm by breathing in for a count of 4 and out for a count of 6. Repeat this about 10 times, in for 4 and out for 6. You can change the count numbers. The key is to breathe out for longer than you breathe in. And make sure you feel comfortable doing this. So no stress or strain, just easy breathing, focusing on breathing out for longer than you breathe in. And take those breaths right down deep into your belly. This changes the physiological state of your body by engaging your parasympathetic nervous system, which imparts calm. But don't just dismiss these dreams as being, oh, that's just an anxiety dream. There's so much insight to be gained from exploring and interpreting your unique anxiety dream. Insight that provides you with the tools to both manage the anxiety and resolve your unique underlying issues. And the next blog I've chosen to stay on our topic is one called Sleep Paralysis and Scary Awakenings. And this was one that I also wrote for the Dream Academy back in April 2020. So if after listening you want to read the written versions, then go to the Dream Academy at dream-academy-online.com. Go to the blog and go to April 2020 where you'll find this one, Sleep Paralysis and Scary Awakenings. And bear in mind, this was written in April 2020, so we were in like the first month or two of the pandemic. When you wake up feeling a dead weight pressing on your chest and you can't breathe and there's a haunted feeling in the room, is there a ghost around? I was asked this on a recent radio show and I realised in what's been a run of media interviews about dreams during COVID-19 that variations of this question keep coming up. There are no ghosts in the room, no spirits to lay it to rest. So let's put your mind to rest instead. Actually, the story begins with falling asleep. And one of the first things that happens is that your body is put to rest. Not just resting and drifting off to sleep. As you enter sleep, your brain switches on a mechanism that inhibits your motor muscles from moving much apart from the odd twitch. This is known as sleep paralysis, and its function is to protect you by preventing you from getting up and acting out your dreams. Your eye muscles are the only motor muscles that retain full movement, as you'll notice when you watch someone sleeping through their REM, their rapid eye movement phases of sleep. And once you start dreaming, your mind is far from rest. It's very active, processing your recent experiences and wrapping them up in dreams, but your body is very much at rest. Under normal circumstances, when you wake, your brain switches off the sleep paralysis mechanism, and by the time you finish dreaming and opening your eyes, your body has recovered its full mobility, give or take the need for a bit of a stretch after laying still for much of the night. But When you wake up suddenly, usually from a scary dream or a noise in the room or your alarm going off while you're deeply asleep, there can sometimes be a lag between your mind waking up and your body shaking off the sleep paralysis. So you can find yourself partially alert, but unable to move your body. And naturally, this can feel terrifying if you don't understand what's happening. As you lay there, unable to move, wondering if you've had a stroke, you may begin to feel a heaviness on your chest. And if your mind is still half awake and half dreaming, you may perceive this sensation as a person, a ghost, or a heavy object holding you down. And the more your fear kicks in, the more your body enters a state of physiological fear, and given your likely interpretation that there's an evil intruder in the room or that you're trapped, panic can ensue. Breathing can become laboured. All this can escalate in the few seconds before you fully wake up, mind and body. Or you might drift off back to sleep and continue dreaming the theme, since the function of your dreams is to process your experiences. But what if this situation is compounded by actually seeing a ghost or spirit in your room, or sensing its evil presence? Can you trust what you see and feel? Well, let's go back to the sudden awakening. If you are jolted in a dream into a state of partial wakefulness, partly awake, partly still dreaming, and you open your eyes, your brain may interpret your dream as happening in your room, not on inside your mind. It's as if your dream is wholly or partially projected onto your surroundings. And this is known as hypnopompic sleep. It's a type of hallucination. If you are dreaming of people, and so many of our dreams do include people, your brain may see them in the room. They may appear hazy and ethereal because, of course, they are dream images, not totally solid, and because you're partly awake and so not fully dreaming. Nevertheless, unless you understand what's happening, this is totally scary. It often happens that you have both experiences combined, the ongoing sleep paralysis combined with a partial awakening, eyes open, sensation of ghosts in the room, horror. And this can escalate into dreaming or hallucinating the ghosts or ghouls pressing down on your chest, holding you down, which can ramp up your physiological panic response no end. The cure? For all of these experiences, knowledge is power. Tell yourself that there are no ghosts in the room and there's no one holding you down. Tell yourself that your sleep paralysis will release its hold within a few seconds. Open your eyes wider, moving into wakefulness to stop drifting back into dream. Your panic and fear will begin to resolve. And when you can move again, get out of bed and walk around for a minute or so before going back to bed if this dream happened in the middle of the night. The experience can be even more terrifying if it was a scary dream that caused you to wake prematurely, because your body will be already pumped full of fear and stress hormones. Remember, when you feel fear or stress in a dream, your body is flooded with fear and stress hormones, so you are in a real state of physiological fear or stress to begin with. And if you still have the memory of what was happening in your dream and you start to quote unquote see it playing in your room, it can up the scare stakes. Again, the cure is to tell yourself the sleep paralysis will release and there are no ghosts or evil intruders in your room. If you can, take deep breaths. If your chest is in panic mode, tell yourself that it's easy to take some deep breaths. There's one angle we haven't explored, and that's dreaming of being paralyzed or dreaming of seeing ghosts. So I'm not talking about sleep paralysis or premature awakening. I'm talking about a normal dream, well, a normal scary dream, about being unable to move or about seeing ghosts or being haunted. If you're not aware of your sleep paralysis doing its job and keeping you safe while you dream, these dreams are symbolic and need interpretation, as all dreams too do. It's beyond the call of this article, which is really about sleep paralysis and hypnopompic hallucination, but some ideas to explore if you have these kind of dreams include fears or feelings of being stuck and unable to make decisions or take actions, or feeling mentally or emotionally paralyzed. Fears and feelings and beliefs about being trapped or held back. Feelings of being haunted by whatever memories the ghosts represent. That these are just a sprinkling of ideas. Every dream is unique and personal, but you can learn the art and science of how to interpret your particular dreams. And if you want to do that, go to the Dream Academy, dream-academy-online.com, to do the first course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step. So why was I asked about sleep paralysis and seeing ghosts in the bedroom in recent weeks so much during the early part of the pandemic? Well, the COVID-19 period brought up a lot of intense emotions, fears and anxieties for most of us, and these are nightly processed by our dreams. Many of those dreams are scary, since they're processing fear and drenching our bodies in those fear hormones, sometimes snatching us out of sleep so suddenly that we are stranded with sleep paralysis and ghosts in the room. But now, you know what to do if this happens to you, don't you? And the last one I'm bringing to you for today's episode on anxiety dreams and scary awakenings is, how can I stop bad dreams and nightmares? And this one was written in December 2020 for my other blog role, the one on janeteresa.com. How can I stop bad dreams and nightmares? Why do we have bad dreams? Should we pay them attention? How can we stop them? Well, let's face it, no one wants to experience bad dreams, whether they're of the full-on horror variety that leave you terrified to go back to sleep, or whether they're more of the anxious, stressful variety that disrupt your sleep and leave you feeling a lingering sense of unease. There are ways to stop bad dreams and nightmares from recurring, and there are ways to reduce the likelihood of having bad dreams. But let's begin with why we have bad dreams and whether we should pay them attention before bringing in the stop bad dreams tools. Why do we have bad dreams? So we're going to do a little bit of repetition here, but of what we've already talked about, but using different words to bring it all home. Bad dreams are all a matter of perspective. One person's bad dream is another person's curious nighttime horror movie, or exciting, adrenaline-inducing cliff-edge adventure. But when scary dreams disrupt your sleep, leaving you feeling unsettled or anxious the next day and scared to go to sleep the next night, they are indeed your personal bad dream or nightmare category. Most bad dreams or nightmares involve fear, stress, and anxiety, and most have unresolved endings. Your dreams are the result of your sleeping brain and mind processing your conscious and unconscious experiences in a bid to make sense of those experiences and to prepare you to handle similar situations in the future. Your dreams also try to resolve problems and issues, but not always successfully. When dreams are unresolved or have unsatisfactory endings, it's because your dreaming mind has been unable to find a solution to the issue that you were grappling with in the 1 to 2 days before the dream. When you are processing fear, stress, and anxiety in a dream, your body releases the same fear, stress, and anxiety hormones that it would if you were wide awake and experiencing fear, stress, or anxiety. So even though you are dreaming, your body as well as your mind is in a state of physiological fear and stress. This is why you wake up with your heart beating fast, feeling cold with goosebumpy skin, and feeling a sense of dread. Awake, you have the feeling that the dream actually happened, and this compounds your fear. So in summary, you have bad dreams because you are processing your conscious and unconscious fears, stresses, and anxieties without finding solutions. And the bad feeling is compounded because your body and mind is drenched in the actual hormones these feelings induce. Should we pay attention to bad dreams? Bad dreams and nightmares, like all dreams, are symbolic. It's only when you learn how to interpret your dreams that you can understand them, relate them to your waking life, and find helpful insight that you can use to move forward. Some bad dreams may appear to be less symbolic. You know, perhaps you dream of a friend having a serious accident, for example. And it's natural to wake up from such a dream and think you've previewed an actual event or received a warning, and this escalates the horror of your bad dream. But rest assured, when you explore such a dream, you'll discover what it really means about you and your life, and you'll be able to use this insight in positive ways. Interpreting a bad dream or nightmare can help you to understand your deeper, often unconscious, fears, stresses, and anxieties. It can help you to see what underlies those fears. Perhaps your limiting beliefs about yourself or about your life, for example. And it can help you to resolve issues, find solutions to problems, shift perspective, and change limiting beliefs into more positive ones that can free you up in life. So, in summary, it's best to pay attention to bad dreams and nightmares by interpreting them or seeking help from a professional dream consultant before looking at how to stop them. If you jump straight into stopping them, you miss the opportunity to gain meaningful insight that can transform your life in wonderful ways. There's additional magic in interpreting a bad dream and taking action on your insight, because when you do this, guess what? The bad dream stops. The issue is resolved, so the dream stops. Nevertheless, how can you stop bad dreams and nightmares? So apart from stopping bad dreams by interpreting them and acting on the insight you gain, as I have just described, here are some other ways that you can use to stop or help prevent bad dreams. Number one, change the ending of a dream. Now, this is something that you do when you're awake, and it's a form of dream alchemy. And if you're interested in dream alchemy, you'll find there's a course you can do on dream alchemy at the Dream Academy at dream-academy-online.com. So changing the end of the dream, a form of dream alchemy. What you do is, when you are awake, you rewrite the dream with a positive ending. Now, this of course works best if you've already interpreted the dream, but there's still value in this method without interpretation. There's only one thing to bear in mind. In your rewrite, don't kill anything off or make anything disappear. Instead, transform whatever is negative or bad into positive or good. So, for example, if your bad dream was about falling off a cliff, rewrite a version where you find a safe path, or rewrite a version where you fly. If your bad dream was about finding an evil monster hiding in a cupboard, rewrite a version where you find a loving little puppy in the cupboard. Then visualize your rewrite over and over again while you are awake. Your dreaming mind will take the cue to change the dream. And even better, your unconscious mind will take the cue to find a safer path or to face your demons and find something precious in their place. The second tip to stopping bad dreams and nightmares, apart from interpreting your dreams and taking action on them, is to get a full night's sleep every night. If you avoid sleep by going to bed later because you're anxious about having more bad dreams, you can make things worse for yourself. With less dreaming time to process your waking life experiences, especially your fears, anxieties, issues, feelings, emotions, and challenges, you head into the next day already ill at ease. Those fears compound, those issues remain unresolved, those feelings lose the opportunity to vent during a dream, those emotions go unchecked, and those challenges miss the opportunity for the deep, creative problem-solving that dreams can offer. Not only that, but the more you deprive yourself of sleep, the more likely you are to suffer REM rebound. So during a normal 8-hour sleep, you experience 4 or 5 REM, that's rapid eye movement, periods, during which you do most of your vivid dreaming. After several nights of sleep deprivation or short sleeps, those missed REM periods can all crash in, bringing an avalanche of overdue dreams, many of which may be vivid and nightmarish. So go to bed early enough to get a full 8-hour sleep every night. If you wake up with a bad dream, sit up in bed to do the rewrite or visualize the rewrite, then lay back down again, telling yourself you are safe. Another tip to stop bad dreams and nightmares is to avoid alcohol and drugs. Because alcohol can repress REM sleep, leaving you bereft of healthy dreaming time. And ultimately, you'll experience the REM rebound, which we've just talked about, which brings increased likelihood of bad dreams. So stay off the alcohol, or at least the excess alcohol. And quite a few medicinal drugs can induce bad dreams. So if you're on a medicinal drugs prescription, check with your doctor. And last, a note about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. If you suffer with PTSD, you may experience flashback dreams that are either exactly the same as the trauma you experienced or similar to it. And they, of course, are very bad dreams. So to learn more about PTSD dreams and how to deal with them and how to stop them, go back to episode 134, episode 134 of The Dream Show, where I give you some tips on post-traumatic stress disorder dreams. And that's really a wrap for today's episode. Apart from, of course, to say, if you are listening to this in real time, we are only a few days away from a new year. So I hope all of this is helpful in dealing with any stressful or difficult dreams that you or someone that you know have experienced recently, and will prepare you to have a lovely clean slate and be prepared for a beautiful 2023 full of uplifting and inspiring dreams. Not forgetting, after listening to everything that you just have, that even our bad and scary dreams can be inspiring, not on the moment of waking up. You don't exactly wake up from a bad and scary dream and go, oh wow, that was so inspiring. But when you interpret the dream, when you explore it and you discover what meaningful insight it's giving about yourself and your life, that is incredibly inspirational for you to take action on, to move forward in more positive ways. If you'd like to be a guest on a future dream show, we're ready to record some guest episodes now. All it means is that you put up your hand and say you'd love to be on the show. We arrange a time and a date. We do it by Zoom, but we don't do it with cameras on. We do that to preserve our bandwidth and to give you some confidentiality and privacy, because it's not like doing a one-on-one consultation with me where we usually have the cameras up and can see each other. For the Dream Show, we let you have some privacy. So we contact you by Zoom. And the thing is that we bring you on and I know nothing about the dream. You surprise me by whatever dream you bring to the show. And we spend the next 45, 50, 55 minutes exploring your dream and working out what it means in your life, how it relates to your life, and what insight and meaningful positives you can take from it. And of course, you do this as a volunteer so that everybody listening can get the feeling for how to approach their own dreams. And also, as is often the case, whatever dreams we bring to the show usually resonate with a lot of people. So we learn a lot from listening to other people's dreams and how they reflect their lives. So if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, go to janeteresa.com. Remember, that's Teresa without an H. Go to janeteresa.com, go to the menu, go to podcast The Dream Show. There's a drop-down box, and one of the things on the drop-down box says be a guest on The Dream Show. It's only a very short form to fill in. It's something like your name, your email address, and tell me a couple of sentences about why you'd love to be a guest on The Dream Show, but don't tell me your dream, something like that. So really quick and easy to pop that in, and we'll contact you and give you a date and time to bring you onto the show with much deep appreciation. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. The next episode, if you're listening, is next episode is 265, which comes out on the 26th of January 2023, if you're listening to this in real time. Have a lovely month of end of December, beginning of January, till we meet again. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.